8, Deuteronomy chapter 8, first 9 verses. And the message is entitled, Remember the Lord, Remember the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Let me read the first couple verses here, Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. All right, so we have verse 11, although we're not going to deal with this tonight. Verse 11 says, Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. So here we have this pattern going on here. Remember the Lord, don't forget the Lord. Remember the Lord, don't forget the Lord. So he's instructing his, through Moses, he's, this generation that's getting ready to go into the promised land. Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank you for this time. We pray that you bless the word, appreciate thy word and use scriptures to speak to all of our hearts and help us to take the message and live in light of it. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so basically what the Lord is saying here is that Israel has enjoyed blessings through the years, even in the wilderness wandering, that he was using for chastisement. And he's going to take them into the promised land, and when they get into the promised land, it's going to be a wonderful time for them with great blessings and everything he's provided for them. But his fear is that they'll take him for granted, and then in time, they'll forget him. And you see, this is, I think, the pattern of Christians as well. We receive the blessings of the Lord, and after a while, we start to take them for granted. Then after a while, we begin to forget, and we get other things cluttering up the landscape, and we forget all about the Lord, who's one who given it to us. And I think with regard to our church as well. So last December, we had our 10th anniversary. We were thankful for that. At that time, we could look back and remember many things that the Lord has done and many of the good things that he's done. And we think of all kinds of answers to prayer. Some of them were answers to prayer concerning financial needs. Some answers to prayer concerning health needs and so on. We saw the Lord bless in unusual ways, and we need to be thankful for all that, but we want to be careful that we don't forget the Lord and assume things, and assume that things will go on or take things for granted and so on. Now, the forgetfulness comes, I think, to a certain degree, when individuals become distanced from the Lord, and one of the ways to become distant to the Lord and from the Lord is by not attending church. Now, this is true. All pastors would say that. At any time in 2,000 years, distancing oneself is where forgetfulness comes in. And then in remembering, the things get foggy and vague, and then some of the things that I remember are the hurts of the past. And then, after that, criticism comes in. And so there's danger, see? So whether we're talking about pre-COVID-19, COVID-19, or post-COVID-19, pastors have always had a concern for church members who don't attend regularly. So this is an ongoing concern. And what happens is, people don't grow when they're not present. Now, we're thankful that, as I just mentioned here, dine-in restaurants are open. This is on our tape. Dine-in restaurants are open. That's great. But our church has been open. Amen. Our church has been open. Amen. And so, you know, in the Bible, there is a analogy. Let's look back here to Minor Prophet Haggai. So Haggai, right before Zechariah, right before Malachi, right before Matthew. So find it somewhere in there. And somewhere before Revelation. All right, so you're narrowing it down. Haggai. All right, Haggai, Old Testament. Now, Haggai and Zechariah were two prophets here who were preaching to the Jews that were coming back from captivity. They're coming back from the Babylonian captivity. So Nebuchadnezzar came along, 605. He took Daniel and others into captivity. He came again, 597, 586. He destroyed the city. And so the Jews were taken in exile to Babylon, those that lived. Now, after 70 years have passed, and the Lord wants the Jews to come back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple, rebuild the city. He wants them to come back. And the Jews didn't want to come back because they liked Babylon. They liked the world system. They weren't that interested in the Lord's chosen city, Jerusalem, any longer. They liked it being away from Jerusalem. And so here in Haggai chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 2. See, so now a reluctant 50,000 Jews came back from exile back to Jerusalem. In fact, Cyrus, the pagan king, said, come on back and rebuild the temple. Come on back, Jews, and rebuild the temple. We're not so interested in that. You're not interested in building a temple in Jerusalem as Jews. You're not interested. Okay. So Haggai comes along and says in verse 2, speaking to the people, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And we're interested in building the second temple. Imagine that. It's not time yet. We've got other things to do. It's not time to build the Lord's house. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? In other words, you're lying and you're staying in your sealed houses, which indicates tile up on the roof and so on, and very elaborate houses. You're spending time on yourself, but you could care less about the Lord's house. Wow. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to be put in a bag with holes. In other words, staying away from the Lord's house and rebuilding it and so on, and doing their own things, after a while, they found out, this is not satisfying to me as a believer. Not satisfying. And so Haggai challenges them here, and challenges Zerubbabel, who's going to be the construction engineer. So notice, through the preaching, so that's what pastors are to do, through preaching. You see, so through the preaching, if you look down in verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. So after this ongoing preaching by Haggai and Zechariah, 23 days later, the people got stirred up, start to come back and start building the temple. And so that's the message that needs to be preached here. You need to come back. Too many people are enjoying life at home, maybe listening to messages, maybe not. Who knows? I'm not told, who knows? And enjoying it, and after a while, they'll find out, true believers will find out, this is not satisfying for me, because part of the Christian life is faithful attendance in church. Amen. Pre-COVID-19, COVID-19, post-COVID-19, no exceptions, 2,000 years of Christianity. Amen. It's the message. So, I've talked to some pastors recently, and these pastors, as well as myself, are worried that there's going to be some fatalities, some COVID-19 fatalities spiritually. The function of the local church is to take care of spiritual needs of individuals. Now, we're not going to try and bring people into unhealthy systems and so on, unhealthy scenario. Obviously, that we're not interested in that and hurting people, but the function and the importance and the purpose of a local church is to take care of the spiritual needs of the congregation. We're not called to collaborate with government for the physical health welfare of the nation. Remember that? Caesar doesn't love us. Caesar doesn't love us. And in fact, Caesar hates us. So, now, my concern as pastor, and here again, I've talked to several others, we're all thinking the same things, talking the same things, and so on. Many of the colleagues that I have in the Lord's work, and they'll say, you know, my people are well trained on the doctrine of the local church. Amen. Now, having the knowledge of the doctrine of the local church is great, but putting it into practice is what's needed here. So I could ask anybody, any Christian in any church I've been in, do you believe in local church? Yes. Do you believe that church members ought to show up and attend regularly? Yes. Do you believe that sufficiently that you will show up this Sunday in attendance? Oh, wait a minute. The theory's great here. Do you believe it seriously enough to show up at 10 o'clock next Sunday for Sunday school? How much do you believe this? So we're not interested in theory. I told the graduation group here, I said, all of you have done papers and work in the ecclesiology class that we require here for all graduates. And y'all got A's. Y'all can lay down the truth of ecclesiology, the doctrine of church. But the big issue here is don't get an A in the theory of ecclesiology and an F in the practice of it. Amen. Because my teaching has gone down the drain, if that's the case. All right. Anyway, so enjoying the blessings of the Lord. See, our American Christianity has enjoyed the blessings for over 200 years and so on. But American Christianity, I'm saying in general, American Christianity in general has enjoyed all these blessings, but American Christianity has gotten soft and enjoyed the things that are associated with this. And then got off track and assumed that the Lord's blessing is going to be there because, after all, we are American Christians, and the Lord always blesses American Christians in America. And so we get off track here and realize this is all a thin veneer, and everything could change. In fact, I think most of you know that come around November, December, January, depending on how our government goes, we could be in permanent lockdown and illegal overnight. We could. Then what are we going to do? Then what are we going to do? All right. So, the missionary pastor in Romania, he was bemoaning the fact that we're still in lockdown. But what do you expect for a communist government? Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, foreign lands, they go through persecution, but not us. We're not persecuted. Come on. No, we just don't realize it. Anyway, we need to realize we're in a fight. We're in a fight every day. Devil hates us. If we're not ready for the fight, we'll be easy targets. All right, so we're in a battle. We've been called to battle. So that's all of a preliminary, but this is basically what the Lord is saying. I'm going to bless you if you will step out by faith and obey me. I'm going to pour out all kinds of blessings on you, but I know man, and after a while you receive the blessings, you take them for granted, and then all of a sudden your heart's not with me. That's what the passage is about. And sometimes we get worked up. And we have an opportunity where we see some spiritual blessing on us. Maybe talk to somebody about the Lord, win somebody to Christ, or you teach a Sunday school class, a real blessing, or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden you get puffed up and think, boy, you know, I'm kind of special here. And no, it's the Lord who does that in spite of us. So we can't get puffed up. So we see in our passage now, the Lord says, forget not in 8:11. I mentioned that. And also in 8:14, he says, thou forget the Lord, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Let's notice also Psalm 103. And verse 2. So here's David speaking. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, and so on. He goes on. But he doesn't want to forget the Lord's benefit. He's challenging believers. Don't forget the Lord's benefits that we often take for granted. All right, now as we're beginning to look at the passage, I divided this into two major sections here, verses 1 through 5. The message is, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. Secondly, in verses 6 through 9, revere the Lord. So easy outline. Remember the Lord, revere the Lord. 6 through 9. Remember the Lord, revere the Lord. Now look here in verse 1. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. All right, all the commandments. So he's given some. He gave the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, that's a good starting place. Think you can handle Ten Commandments? No, they never did. Ten Commandments had to do with relationship with God, relationship with Sabbath, and relationship with man. And they couldn't handle any of this. And that's man's scenario today. We struggle with relationship with God. We struggle with a relationship to the day of worship. And we struggle with one another. See, church would be great. Bible Baptist would be great. If there weren't any saved sinners here that acted up, it'd be great. But now you folks show up, and I do too. You see, in other words, there's grace. The Lord gives grace in the assembly to look beyond a sinner who's been saved, and some of their foibles and fallibilities may still come out. The Lord gives grace to look beyond that and see them in Christ. See them in Christ. And so there's no grace bestowed when people are staying at home saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not around those people. Boy, yeah, I'm over here in my safe little room here, and I'm not around all those cranky people and their carnality and the way they talk and behave and all their inconsistencies and hypocrisies. I'm glad I'm not around them. I'm in my safe zone right here. Well, there's no grace there. You come to church, the Lord will give you some grace. The Lord will give you some grace. He'll give you some grace to put up your pastor. But if you're not around your pastor, how are you going to have any grace? So, yeah, it works two ways. I realize that. Anyway, I command thee this day, ye shall observe to do that ye may live. So here, this is real simple. Observe to do, live, multiply, see, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. So he wants them to have the land. The land is a great promise, great piece of real estate, a tremendous promise that he's given to these people. And so we have, Lord wants them to have two things, life and land. I want you to have life and I want you to have land and I want you to enjoy it. Isn't that what we'd like to say? You know, in my years, I would like to have a good, enjoyable life and a place to live. Life and land. Isn't that what everybody wants? Life and land. The Lord says, all you have to do is obey me. Is this complicated? Not complicated. It's not an intellectual issue, is it? It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. All right, so remember the Lord. First of all, we see the promise here is he promises them, you obey, you'll live. You obey, you'll have land. Then verse 2 through 5, he begins to talk to them about the past. I've made you a promise, now let's talk about the past. Let's talk about the past. First of all, he wants them to consider their humbling, in verses 2 through 4. Consider their humbling. It says, and thou shalt remember. See, in remembering the Lord, you have to remember what he's done. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord led, which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness. So they're in the wilderness, Kadesh Barnea. Holy wandering, remember that? Terms, holy wandering. Kadesh, holy, Barnea, wandering. Holy wandering. They were wandering in the wilderness in his will as he's trying to sanctify them and discipline them and chastise them. He says that. These 40 years in the wilderness, he says, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Well, he found in some of their hearts was a lot of rebellion and bitterness, and he destroyed them. Humble them, prove them, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So we know Joshua and Caleb, they kept commandments, and they were able to make it all the way through and go into the promised land, but others didn't. And so here we see wanted to them to remember the past, consider their humbling there. He says in verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might take thee and make thee know that the man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So notice he humbled them. So they were wandering around. What were they going to eat? They suffered hunger. This is part of the discipline he gave them. Suffered hunger. And so they cried out. And so the Lord, in a very generous way, provided manna for them 40 years, 6 days a week. And it was tastes like honeycomb. And it was a pleasant food. They were to gather it. He took care of them for 40 years. 40 years with this. And not only that, and they didn't even know where it came from. And that's the way the Lord works. He just drops things out of heaven. Back in January, the Lord dropped $25,000 out of heaven and landed right here. Had angel wings on it. I mean, it just dropped right down. Remember that? You remember the past? Remember that? Who did that? We didn't even pray about that. We didn't even pray about that. But the Lord was concerned about Bible Baptist Church. Maybe the Lord knew what was coming down the pike. And we didn't. We just were thankful and kind of chagrined that maybe we ought to pray more often about things like that. But just dropped it out of heaven. Remember that? We need to remember these things. Amen. And he dropped the manna down out of heaven. Then notice what else he did. We're going to come back to verse 3. But thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So can you imagine that? Traveling around for 40 years with the same clothes? Well, I guess that eliminated them going to the mall every week. But, you know, their raiment waxed not old. And their feet didn't swell. Look at that. He took care of them. Took care of their basic needs here. their basic needs. And then several passages relate to this. Let's look here, first of all, in Deuteronomy 29. The Lord, once again, repeats this later on, 29:5, he says, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and your shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." And so he talks about how he's blessed them and so on. Then let's look over here in Nehemiah chapter 9. So 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9. And we'll pick it up in verse 9:19. "Yet thou and thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them." Gave them the Holy Spirit to help them with the understanding of Scripture. "And withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." And so here the Lord took care of them in the wilderness. In the hard place of the wilderness, the holy wanderings, he took care of them, met their needs. And he's trying to indicate this to them, and that he humbled them because they had to trust him every day. Is the manna going to come today? Are we going to find a rock that has the water in it? How are our needs going to be met? Day after day after day, he had to discipline them. See what happens when, after a while, we don't have to trust the Lord every day for what we need. Well, I've got it covered for months. Got it covered for months. Well, then we get puffed up. I don't need the Lord. Now, if things run out, oh, I need him now. But you see, he disciplined them this way when they had to trust him every day. Had to trust him every day. Now, the, excuse me, he, let's see, in verse 5 he says, "Thou hast also considered in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord hath thy God chastened thee." So this reminds us of Hebrews 12, being chastened by the Lord. He chastens those that he loves, and so he deals with them and so on. Now, the in 8:3, see, in 8:3, the scripture says that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord God doth man live. Now, here the Lord cited this. We find this twice in the New Testament. Let's look in Matthew, first of all, Matthew 4:4, and the other passage is Luke 4:4. Excuse me. But in Matthew 4:4, when he's tempted, the Lord is tempted after 40 days of fasting. And 40 days, 40 nights. 40 days of fasting. Scripture says, "And he was a-hungered." This is verse 2. "And when the tempter came and said to him and said, if thou be the Son of Man, command that these stones be made bread." In other words, he's appealing to his hunger. You can make stones into bread. Have something to eat. Appealing to him where he's being tempted. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." See, so to the Lord, what is most important? What's most important to the Lord? The physical or the spiritual? What's most important? Oh, we need the physical, but that's not where life ends, just with the physical. What's more important than the physical is the spiritual. And so the Lord brings that out. And we need to realize that as well. here again, this church is a spiritual hospital. That's what it is, spiritual hospital. So you have physical needs, you go to the physical hospital. But don't look here for this being a physical hospital. All right? This is a spiritual hospital. We take care of spiritual needs. All right? And so we have the priority. In Luke chapter 4, we have the same passage here. And the Lord alludes to this as well, Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. Luke 4:4 is our reference. Where he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so here he rebukes the devil because he's not going to put his physical above his spiritual. And he had the right priority here. Now, in the chastening that the Lord brings out here, this is in verse 5, thou shalt also consider thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And so he brought these difficulties upon them and so on, so that he could prove them and deal with them. And he had to rebuke them along the way. And he had to help them realize what's involved here. Now, likewise, if you look here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, who's the pastor there at the Ephesian church, responsibility of the pastor. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's the role of the pastor. He's to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Preach the word and so on. And so this is what pastors attempt to do. They try to deal with their flock. They try to help them along. But sometimes it takes some strong reproof, rebuke, exhortation, long-suffering, and doctrine, and so on. And so we have a church here. This is not just a good old boy party that we're having here. People show up, don't show up, come in, come out. No consequences. No, there's oversight, and there is accountability in this church. People don't like that. They don't like accountability. They don't like accountability anywhere. But when the accountability starts to fall off, then it's time for a pastor to come along and reprove and rebuke. You need to get back in here and so on. And so it's not done out of hate. It's not done out of anger. This is done out of love. So the Lord chastened Israel because he loved Israel. And pastors chasten and preach and rebuke their churches because they love the members, because they have to give an account for the members. All right, so the Lord is saying, or the pastor is saying here, remember the Lord, verse 1 through 5, his promise, or the promise and the past. One other past hadn't occurred to them yet, but we know in the Bible in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, what did the Jews do? They got involved in rebellion. Remember the cycle there? Rebellion, ruination, repentance, restoration, and rest. Then the cycle began all over again. Rebellion leads about ruination. All right, and so ruination requires repentance. When repentance comes, there's restoration. All right, so we need to remember the Lord. Secondly, not only that, but to revere the Lord. Revere the Lord with actions, their actions. So here in verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and fear him. So keep, walk, fear. The fear here is reverential fear. We show our fear to the Lord by obeying him. We fear him in the sense that we don't want to disappoint him. And we fear him because we're not interested in chastisement. And so we need to keep his commandments and walk in his ways and fear him. We dealt with Psalm 119. Remember, the whole message of Psalm 119 was verse 1. Let's look at Psalm 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Walk in the law of the Lord. So this is our Christian walk. We're to walk in the law of the Lord. What's his law? Well, we have it in the scriptures here. We're to walk in the law of the Lord. All right, and so we need to keep his ways, keep his commandments, walk in his ways, and so on. Now, so we need to revere the Lord, first of all, with actions, their actions they needed to, and because of his abundance, verses 7 through 9. Because of his abundance, their action, his abundance. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths, that spring out of the valleys and hills. See what they come out of, the wilderness. Where were the springs and brooks? They weren't there, they're rocks. And Moses had to smite the rocks, get the water. But now he's going to bring them into a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths, that spring out of the valleys and hills. This is the abundance of the Lord. In verse 8, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. All right, once again, a place not only for water, abundant water, but abundant food. What they have in the wilderness? Rocks, not water. What they have in the wilderness? Well, they had manna, but that's about it. But now they're going to be able to make their own food, to have the water, and all the abundance the Lord was going to give him. See, the Lord is a good God. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to give us and give us over and beyond what we really need. And he's willing to do that. And he's willing really to give us basically anything that we need. And he goes beyond that. So we have to all say, I have a little bit more than just my basic needs, right? We can all say that. But he knows the issue is when he gives us in abundance, we stop remembering him and we get focused on the abundance. We get focused on other things, and he's not so important. He knows that. That's what he's concerned about here. Verse 9, he says, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. So think of the blessing here of the metals. First of all, the metals here, the metals of iron. Iron was important. They could make iron blades. They could make iron chariots and so on. Things like this were alluded to. And the metal there, for whatever they needed, tools, was available. In fact, some stones, no iron was to be put on the stone around the temple and so on. But here they had iron. Their stones are iron. And out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. They may dig brass. Now, if you look over there in Ezra 8:27, we see the word, same word here, nakash actually. But in Ezra, we see reference in chapter 8 to same word and how it's translated as copper. Ezra 8:27. Here, two vessels of fine copper. So, brass is made of copper and zinc. So, although in 1611, brass was the word that was used here and so on, could just as easily have been translated copper. And so they had plenty of copper, and if they put that with zinc, they could make brass and other things. But this lends itself to the Solomon's copper mines. So Solomon's copper mines have been found south of the Dead Sea Scroll here, Dead Sea rather, and he had much copper. Let's look here in this time in 2 Chronicles chapter 4. So 4:18, thus Solomon made all these vessels in great abundance, for the weight of the brass could not be found out. So the word behind brass here is our word copper once again. And so the idea is that Solomon had vast access to copper. And so the so-called copper mines have been found now, discovered, of Solomon's copper mines. But these metals here were tremendous metals to be used for equipment and tools and ornaments and so on and so forth. And he put copper in the temple and so on, along with gold. And so we see all the blessings, these physical blessings, these things that everybody would like to have. But it's all preconditioned here with in verse 6, to walk in the ways and to fear him. So the Lord is good. He wants to give them the good land. He wants them to have all these things, but he wants them to revere him first of all. So here's the secret. You put the Lord first. Seek the Lord first. You choose the Lord over mammon. You remember the Lord. You revere the Lord. You remember the things that he's done in the past. And then you revere him and trust him and obey him, fear him, for his continual blessing. So this is an easy formula. The struggle here is the heart of man. In fact, he challenges them there in verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart. Consider in thine heart. So they need to consider not only their humbling, but they need to consider in their heart what the Lord has done. That's what we need to do as well. And so here's a pattern here. But this pattern, I think, as we try to make an application here, once again, to Christianity in America has been greatly blessed through the years. And it's been taken for granted. Christians have been spoiled for 200 years. And along the way, I believe Christianity as a whole has forgotten the Lord. They've gotten focused on everything else and programs and good graces in government's eyes and all kinds of things and so on. They've enjoyed the American way with comfort and collaboration with government and secular world. There are even some churches right now that are trying to collaborate with the Chick-fil-A and have a relationship with Chick-fil-A and so on. And there's nothing wrong with dining there, but when you get into collaboration or in some sort of financial agreement with the secular world of the church, then you're locked in. And this is called the compromise. And we've enjoyed all these things, but maybe the Lord is saying, all right, Christianity, it's time to wake up here in America. Time to wake up, because you're on the verge of forgetting me, and I've got a wake-up call for you. You need to realize, yes, you've been blessed by me, and I've given you many, many things, but these many, many things could easily go out the window in the next few months. And so we need to make sure Bible Baptist Church is remembering the Lord and revering the Lord in our behavior and in our concern about what he has for us and what he's done. So we can be thankful for what he's done in the past. But we can't take all that for granted and forget about him and think in the next 10 years, we don't have to worry about the Lord. This is all taken care of. We're going to focus on other things. We're not going to go that direction as a church. We want to remember the Lord and revere the Lord. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank you for the time we've had to study the Word of God. We pray that you'll bless in our efforts now. Help us to keep these two truths in mind and put them in application in our lives, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.